Yesterday, we read Psalm 127 and 128. I just want to call your attention to Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walks in His ways. Notice it says everyone. That embraces me. I'm blessed if I have learned the fear of the Lord, to reverence Him, to have that perspective that Philip has spoken about. He's God. He's far above all. He's the one that made everything. All things were made by Him. And there's nothing made that is made that He didn't make. Oh, how great He is. And we need to learn to reverence Him. Reverence His majesty. There's that hymn, Majesty, we sing it, Majesty. Submit to His authority. And have something in your heart, something, the dread of His wrath. You know the Lord has wrath? Just like I have had wrath. I didn't have to mete it out on Philip. But some of my children, other children, I had to give it to them. You've asked for it by your behavior. And I'm here to minister to you and give it to you. You had better learn to obey. You don't sass your mother. You do not sass your mother. I had to do that. But God is our Father, and He corrects us. And it's in kindness. My father, you know, my mother was one to give it right on the spot. You know, she didn't wait. And she would swing at you, and we all learned to duck, you know. And but the report was given to my father. And he say, Gordon, I'll see you in my room. We prepared for that. We had pillows in our backside. But he said, this hurts me more than it does you. But I'm so glad for correction.
Amen.
Correction. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good. All right, now that it's the fear of the Lord that I'm talking about. Fear of the Lord. What is that? Well, look at, you can help me. 1 Samuel 22, 1. 1 Samuel 22, 1. Someone read it so that I can hear, all of us can hear. It has to do with David. What does it say? Well, we have a David here.
Get up.
Yeah, get up and read it out.
David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam, where his brothers and his father's household heard about it. They went down to him there.
Yeah, go on.
All those who were in distress, in the depth of discouragement, gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him.
Okay. Disgruntled men. The three D's, what are they?
Stress.
They were in distress. Are you in distress? You ought to be, if you're yet in your sins. We had that in our first chapter 120. The writer says, I was in distress. because I was among a people who were lying. Anyway, and he desired to get out of that place. In distress, they were in debt. Are you in debt? Who isn't in debt? Who is not in debt? You use your credit card. You're not in debt. No. And discontent. Now, what are you going to do? There were 400 of them. What's David going to do? He became their leader. What's he going to do? Psalm 34:11. What does it say?
Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
Come. Come, you 400 disgruntled men. Come. He calls them children. Come, children. I'm going to teach you. And what am I going to... I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning. They became a mighty force as warriors. I don't think they ever suffered defeat. But they became such who feared the Lord. Feared the Lord. Now what does that mean? To fear the Lord. Well, we ought to fear the Lord. Because the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. We ought to serve Him with grace because our God is a consuming fire. We're going to have to give an account of our lives for that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. There's a day coming when we're going to have to give an account. The books are going to be open, and we're going to be exposed for what we really are. Paul says he labored. I labor unto this, that I might be accepted of him in that day, knowing the terror of the Lord. The Lord has wrath. And it's coming soon. It's coming to this country. Mm-hmm. This country. You cannot go on in your sinful way and think it's going to just, pass by. God is just. God is just. He wouldn't be just if He didn't punish sin. Mm-hmm. Wherever it lies. And so, let's get something of that fear of God within us. Proverbs 8:13. We have another David over here, and he can read.
Sometimes that's okay. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. That is why I hate pride, arrogance, corruption, and perverted speech.
Okay. That is a version. Another translation.
Yes, in the Living.
The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate
evil.
What's evil? Those are the things that we commit that are injurious to others. They cause others to suffer. They cause grief. They cause displeasure. I've done things that have caused displeasure. The Lord hasn't been pleased. It's time I endeavored to please Him. What do you think? What do you think? Are we going to go on in that way? But the fear of the Lord, God wants to instill something into us. To hate the evil within myself. Pride, it says. Does it say pride?
Yes, yes
it does.
What is pride? What is the middle letter in pride?
Power.
Pride? What?
I
was trying to think of an acrostic of pride. What is pride? P, puff up. In my own ego. I'm just puffed up on, you know, inordinate thoughts of myself. Let's take a picture of all of us. We'll stand on the porch, take a picture. That picture is good or bad because I don't look, you know, that picture's no good because I look bad. It's all me. I'm centered in myself. And God wants to deliver us from pride. And it says arrogancy. Does it say? It doesn't say. What does it say in your Bible, David? Pride? What follows pride?
Arrogance. Corruption.
Okay, arrogance. Arrogance. What does that mean? Arrogance. Arrogant pride. It means that I look down on the other person with disdain. I have a haughty attitude. I'm better than you. You know, we don't say those things, but we have it in our hearts. We're superior. That's what brought us into war with Germany, because Hitler thought that the Germans were, you know, they were superior. And then it says corruption. What is the word that we have in?
Evil behavior.
And then this word, froward mouth. Now, what does that mean, froward? I looked that up in the dictionary. To refuse, to yield, to comply with what is required. I'm not going to do that. People will come here and there are certain restrictions that are laid upon them. They understand them, but they say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I resist this thing. You see? And God says He hates that. He hates that. We have to learn to yield, and that's a key word in the scriptures. After you've been baptized, you've been buried with Him in baptism and raised again in Him. It says this Jesus died once unto sin and He rose again. Likewise ye reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. That's the other word, a key word in that passage. Reckon. Reckon. It's done. It's done. Chapter 44, 22 and 3 in Isaiah. God has blotted them out. I'm happy and glad and free. God has blotted them out. I'll turn to Isaiah and see. Chapter 44, 22 and 3. He's blotted them out. So now I can say, that means me. Their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. No more. Why do we bring up, it's not us, it's our adversary who brings up again those past sins. We had ministry to fallen women in Williamsburg from the crossroad every Tuesday. They came, I told them, I said, look, I don't want to hear anything about your past. I just want to know what the Lord has done for you. Has the Lord done anything for you? And the enemy of our souls, he'll bring up the past. We have a sister in our church, and I can't get through to her. She's always bringing up the past. I did this, I did this, and the Lord is angry with me. This is why this thing has befallen me. Anything, little thing that happens to her, oh, it's because of something that I did in the past. And now I'm bearing the consequences. Well, in a measure, we do bear the consequences, because there are always consequences to sin. But the Lord says, I'm not going to remember. That's his covenant with us, new covenant. And so, let me end with this. A life in the fear of the Lord, a family, father, mother, children, living in the fear of the Lord. You know, there's so much that would like to intrude into our homes. That is sinful. That is sinful. And we're bombarded on your television set. Is there anything good?
No.
Is there anything good? David said, I'm not going to set any evil thing before me. And just we're bombarded all over in the media, in the magazines and so on. Lord, Lord, oh, I need to keep myself in the fear of God.
Yes.
Lord, don't let those things, don't let me ever entertain them. I don't like the television. Even the kids' stuff. You know, they have, you know what it does? It does, what does it do for the children? It makes them fidgety. They can't sit still. All this jumping business, you know, and they can't sit still. Well, anyway, it ought to issue in a life of desire to please the Lord. If God can instill his fear in us, it will issue in a desire. It says Jesus also feared. What did he fear? Oh, that he might do something that would cause his father displeasure. It says in Romans, I believe it's 15, even Jesus pleased not himself. He learned obedience through the things he suffered because he feared. I ought to tremble and I ought to fear. Lord, I want to please you. I have the opportunity today to please you, to serve you, serve your people in the love of God. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that. Because we're all helpers of one another. You know, we need each other. We need you young ladies. We need you fellas. We need you older people. God needs us, needs you. And we ought to please him by our wholehearted desire that he be glorified and that our service may be pleasing to him and beneficial to those we serve. It's been so. I've enjoyed being here. I didn't really think it was going to be like this, as delightful to see that we can work together. We can stand for one another. We can uplift each other by our yielding to the Lord and doing what he would have us to do. I want to learn better. A yielded vessel, clean in his hands, that if he wants to use me, that's okay. Or if he doesn't want to use me, that's okay. But however, it's like the waitress that stands at the door. She's ready to to be used or not to be used, but she's ready to be used. You lift your hand and she runs toward you. And what is it? Whatever you are requesting, she's ready to minister in that way to you. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Can we learn the lessons? I want to learn the lesson better. Live in the fear of God. And let me serve in His fear and endeavor to please Him in everything. I've only got one master to please. Just one. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Help me today. I need your grace.
Oh,
it's not always easy to what He calls us to. But Jesus, it wasn't easy for the Lord Jesus. He had a will. He had a will. And to take upon Himself the sins of the whole world and my sins. It wasn't easy. But He said, Lord, Lord, not my will be done, but Thy will be done. Oh, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, You have this grace for us. Jesus knows. He knows all about me. He knows my weakness. He knows my frailty, and He knows how to succor me. Oh, Jesus, I thank You. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Daily must I seek to please Him. Whether it bring joy or pain, then I'll know just how blessed is the wealth of heavenly gain. Oh, thank You, Lord.